Are you ready to start getting more from your money in life? Welcome to the Ditch the Suits podcast, where we get real about the stuff no one in the financial world wants you to know about. Here's to your financial awakening. Well, folks, welcome back to the Ditch the Suits podcast. Steve Campbell with Travis Moss. We say in our intro, we get real about the stuff no one wants you to know about. If you've been listening to this series, we've gotten into some pretty deep stuff in these first two episodes, sharing insights that people in our industry don't want you to know about when it comes to your Social Security and your pension. So if you missed it, go back and listen. It's worth the time because it's about making the right decisions with the tools that you have. Why this series? Why navigating the gap in retirement? We posted a question on a very popular retirement channel, our friends at New Retirement, about topics our listeners would like to hear. And the overwhelming response was understanding navigating these gap years. So there's a lot of people that have saved, scrapped, put money away in their working years. They want to retire early. Usually 55 is that early benchmark. They're trying to figure out the years between 55 and when Social Security kicks in, and then you factor in pensions and other retirement assets. So in the first two episodes, we talked about Social Security. In the last one, we talked about pensions, which was really, really good. You got some great insights about kind of a real life case study that you should go back and listen to. But in this one, we want to talk about putting it all together because there's nothing more frustrating than doing what you're doing. You went to go seek out answers to the questions that you have to just ultimately get to a point where no one actually tells you what to do. They just give you more information. What we want to do, because we're counterintuitive to everybody, we want to actually tell you what to do and how to put it all together. So this is what this whole episode is going to be about. How do you navigate these early retirement years to really get the most from your money in life? So Travis, when we say putting it all together, what are the things we want people to know about?
We're going to actually get to the solution here, right? We've been kind of dragging this out by explaining what some of the tools are that people have available to them. And one thing we kept talking about as we were talking through Social Security and pension and some of that stuff is cash flow. You know, the example we used was about cash flow. That's what retirement planning is. It's just cash flow. It doesn't matter if you retire early or retire late. It's just like, why do you have a job? For cash flow, right? You need money to pay the bills. If you need more money, maybe you got to get two jobs, or you got to get a different job, or you got to do your job differently so you get promoted. But it's just about cash flow. And think about cash flow for a second. How do you manage your house? You manage your house based on what cash flow is available to you, right? So when you're working, and this has always kind of surprised me, people work and they get a paycheck. And let's say after taxes on their paycheck, they have $10,000 a month to spend. And so for retirement, the goal is to maybe replace the $10,000, maybe even a vacation fund. Maybe they want to increase their standard of living. I very rarely see people go backwards in cash flow in retirement. A lot of people are like, well, you know, like the standard wisdom is 75%, you know, or 80% in retirement. I don't know who that is. Maybe pre-tax income, not that post. Most people have a budget. That's what they spend. That's their lifestyle, right? So let's say that you're used to having $10,000 to do stuff with, and you spend the whole $10,000. You're actually not saving it anyway. You're spending it. That's pretty much your retirement budget. When you get into retirement, that's what you're going to want. You may even need more because you're going to be doing stuff because now you're not taking up your day with work. But it's always interesting to me because very early on, we had a client, wonderful people, absolutely happy, like some of the nicest, happiest people you ever meet. They retire and they come in and we're talking about the budget and they're like, well, this is how much you're supposed to be spending and you spent that. And they're like, well, yeah. We're like, what you spent that on? And they said, well, we like to go to Home Depot and walk around. Well, how often do you go to Home Depot? Every day. And, you know, they were spending thousands of dollars a month extra at Home Depot on house projects. That wasn't in the retirement projection at all, but it became like their hobby. And we're like, okay, you can't do that anymore. You didn't plan for that. If that's what you were going to do, you needed to work an extra 3 years. You didn't tell us, oh, I'm going to go walk around Home Depot and spend $1,000 every week. So, oh, I've had a client, you know, we did a whole retirement plan. We got everything figured out. And this is, again, not understanding what your options are and how plans work and taxes and everything like that. They retire and they start cashing out their retirement account to put an addition on their house. I'm like, that wasn't part of the plan. Like, you never even told us about that or anything. And they're just like, well, it's you know, I've always wanted to do it. Now I can take money out of my 401k. It's like, that wasn't part of the plan. Like you can't, you know, we based your whole retirement projection on the fact that you were going to take X amount. And they're like, but the money's there. Why can't I spend it? I said, if you were working, what would you do? I'd get a home equity loan to do this. Why didn't you do that this time? Well, you're not supposed to have debt when you're retired. Says who? As long as you have cash flow, you can have debt. While you were working, were you not supposed to have debt? Now, yes, we can talk about bad debt and good debt, right? But let's talk about debt where you're actually investing in a capital asset or something like that, right? You're actually doing something with the debt, not going on vacations. So if you need a car, you get a car loan. If you want to fix a house, you get a home equity loan. Then you get to retirement, like, I'm not supposed to have debt in retirement. So I guess I'm just going to cash out things and pay lots of income taxes. Why? Well, because they say you're not supposed to have debt. No, it doesn't make any sense. Do you have cash flow to pay the debt? Yeah. Well, then you can have the debt. So the biggest thing that retirees are missing, or people who are looking at retirement, it's all about cash flow. Where's your cash flow coming from? How secure is your cash flow? Pensions, social securities, two of the financial assets provide income in retirement. They provide cash flow. They're very predictable, right? You can pretty much count on them. Obviously, we talked about credit risk and stuff with the pension. If you're really young, maybe you want to discount Social Security or something like that in case they change the program by the time you get there. But for people who are approaching retirement or retirement, those are bedrock pieces of your income or your cash flow. How do you get the most out of them, right? That's the number one thing for everything. If you look at all your stuff that you have accumulated while you were working, you've got your retirement accounts, your IRA, your Roth, your 401k, you know, some annuities, if you bought those things, you know, you've got cash value of life insurance, real estate, rental properties, cash, CDs, government bonds, whatever you've got, add it all up, right? And you've got on there your pension and Social Security, if you're fortunate enough to have pension and, you know, Social Security benefits. That's your inventory. How do you get the most out of it?
Well, and I think you just touched on a couple of things too that are really important is that, you know, money is very confusing. And I always try to think as a listener thinking about our show, I think a lot of times people do things in retirement because there's something missing. They've worked their entire life. There was purpose in their work. And then sometimes you get into retirement and that thing isn't there anymore. So what do? You walk around Home Depot all day because at least it's something to do. So there's a lot of people out there that think they understand how retirement's going to go, but they don't plan for the things that maybe are going to fill that time. And that's a common thing I hear from people all the time. I'm retired. I literally have no idea what to do. My spouse is driving me crazy. So you fill your time with spending money and doing things, right? And then some of the other things that, you know, just listening to you and talking about retirement, it's very confusing for people to kind of really understand all these tools, how they're available and how they work. So again, I think people are here because they're trying to understand if the idea is about cash flow and getting the most out of it, then what are the tools that maybe I have at my disposal that I need to understand and maybe look at a little bit different and step back and be as unemotional as possible. And that's really hard for people to do, but to really understand the tools that you have from an unemotional lens, and then really start to map out how to utilize each one of these tools in a cadence and a rhythm is the way that I'll call it. When you take money, where are you taking money from and why? And if you've never done that simple exercise, even stopping there and saying, why do I just think I shouldn't do this? And that was the other point that you said. When we don't know what to do, we seek out others. Sometimes it's the internet, sometimes it's social groups. So when you say they say you shouldn't have debt, many times that's because we've read the five things retirees should never do from Google, or we saw somebody post one time on a social platform that debt was bad in retirement, which now begins to shape our paradigm and the way that we see things, but you have to remove yourself from that. And that's why, again, I will always come back to your financial plan should be as unique as you are. So why don't you begin to then walk through some of the major tools that people have in their retirement and maybe some ways to look at them?
Yeah. And you made a great point there is you have to do this unemotionally. Emotion can be tricky sometimes too, because there can be emotion there. You don't know that it's there. And so this is normally what a good planner can help talk you through, but I know people that earmark accounts certain ways because that's how they prefer to think about something. So I've had a client that wanted to cash out their Roth IRA to pay off their mortgage. Now, as a retiree, the only way you can get money in a Roth is by converting money into the Roth. So, and the Roths are tax-free. You know, so all the earnings you make are tax-free. So they're like one of the most powerful investment vehicles you have. And we were going to cash it out to pay off the mortgage, which, by the way, was only like, you know, 3%. So even then, so we're an aggressive investor, you know, with a portfolio designed to make 8%+. And we're going to cash that out and pay 3%. And the problem was not that he was going to do it, or even that issue, because, you know, somebody could say, well, I'll give up the extra earnings for not having the stress of having the mortgage. The person had plenty of assets outside of the Roth and a brokerage account that he could access and allow the Roth to continue to grow tax-free and reduce the tax burden from the assets and the brokerage account. So it was completely the wrong assets. And when I asked him, why are you doing this? The answer was, I just earmarked that account for my mortgage. But why? It's a horrible use of the tax-free nature. And once I take it out, I can't put it back in. Right? Like, it's a horrible use of that. People all the time are, I had a client who's, well, the 401k's found money. Well, you know, you may have been able to say that when it was at $10,000, but when it's at $500,000, you need to include that in your overall plan. You know, the way that you invest in that versus a brokerage account might be very different because of accessibility to different types of investments. And you should gear your portfolio according to what's available to you on each platform. So we can create kind of pseudo emotions by saying, this is what this is for. And I'm getting excited about watching that grow. And it's going to, you know, achieve this thing for me. But it's the wrong darn, you're using the wrong asset for your goal. But you've married yourself to it mentally or emotionally. So we need to start with that personal inventory of assets, but we need to think like, you know, cold, hard business person would think about it. I've got cash, investments, real estate, pension fund, social security, whatever it is. Boom, 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 boom. No emotional tie to it. No, well, my dad gave me that or my grandfather told me to buy that or anything like that. Just I have these things. See, that's another one. You inherit somebody from something. Good for you. Wonderful. Don't watch it go back down to zero because I don't want to sell it because I inherited it from somebody, right? Take a year or whatever if you need to, but then how does that asset fit into your overall portfolio and your overall needs in the future in front of you, not the past? So you're going to look at all your assets, but you got to look at your assets. You got to say, what are the benefits or the drawbacks of these? If you have real estate, well, real estate's easy to lend against, right? Because it's a real asset. I can go take your real estate and sell it. And, you know, it's a real thing. You can put your hands on it. It's not related to the stock market in any way. It may not keep up with inflation and it can't easily be cashed out. So you've got some pros and some cons there. Then you got cash. Well, my cash I can access easy. So it's like the opposite of real estate, right? I can just go get it. And it's not tied to the stock market. So it's kind of cool like real estate in that way. But it doesn't keep up with inflation. It's just not going to keep up. So, you know, if I have short-term needs, you know, or I want to use money that, you know, or have money set aside for things, I also need to be very, very concerned about the fact that if I'm going to be sitting on it for 2 or 3 or 4 years, I'm going to be losing value because it's not going to keep up with inflation. So what I use that cash for, needs that for. I always say to people, what is the purpose of your account? Right? Okay. So I understand this is a retirement account, but what's the purpose? What are you going to do with that? You're going to take 5% a year out of it? You know, if you have a Roth and an IRA, think about it like we call it asset location, but is your Roth your aggressive long-term growth fund? So you're trying to get as much growth in your Roth as you can because it's tax-free. So therefore, you dial down the IRA a little bit, which is probably good because you're probably supporting your income off of that. So you can have more of an income portfolio over there. So put more of the growth stuff in the long-term tax-free account and put more of the, you know, slower growth income stuff in the taxable account to provide you more stability and income consistency. Each of these accounts is different. Pension funds. Is it an asset or is it income? And I've seen this with financial planning. You can't have it both. It's one or the other. You got to decide. An asset meaning it's a $500,000 cash out option when I retire. That's an asset. Or it's $2,400 a month when I retire. That's income. Don't count it as both and don't be wishy-washy on it. Which one do you want to build it as in your plan? Now, you can optimize for it. You could also say, hey, I'm going to start it as this. And when I get to retirement, I'll make an assessment based on how the variables have changed. But you can't have it in there both ways because it'll throw off, you know, your risk analysis and everything. But you need to understand the uniqueness of the asset. Social Security, super tax friendly. You're going to get a COLA every year. Cost of living increase. It's going to be secured by the federal government. There's nothing safer than that. That's about as safe as you can get because everybody else is going to have to pay taxes to make sure you get your money. Businesses can't do that with their pension, right? They can't tax people. But it's not liquid. You can't cash it out. So like your pension, you might be able to cash out. You can't cash out. So you can't be like, I'll trade that lifetime income. Give me a $500,000 Social Security. They won't do it. And it's a longevity gamble. If you die early, you know, other people in the country are going to get your money. If you die late, you get other people's money. So it's a longevity gamble. The point is every asset on your balance sheet has something that it's really good at and some things that it's really not good at. And that's the key with good financial planning and figuring out how do you create your cash flow in retirement.
So I'm such a word person as you talk. There are people listening to this podcast probably because they're interested in finances and financial planning. We also hear, though, through financial planning, my husband takes care of this. My wife takes care of this. I don't need to know about this. You know, in your own life that if you have a kitchen or you have a tool shed, you have certain items within your kitchen that are used for certain purposes. There's some things that you use to put hot plates in a thing. There's another tool that you use to flip food. If you have a tool set, you have certain tools to fix certain things. All we're talking about is that your money and these assets are the same exact thing. Each one of them has to serve a purpose as a tool in your life. How amazing would it be, though, if you knew that given any situation, what's happening in your life, you knew exactly which tool to go draw from with confidence. That's, I think, what I'm trying to get home to people is you're laying out something that can seem really above people's, okay, yeah, I think I kind of know what a pension is, or I kind of know what Social Security. There is a lot of nervousness when it comes to retirement, even for people that have amassed millions of dollars. They still don't necessarily know how to use the tools. And why I talk about that is you and I have mentioned through podcasts and videos in the past, we hear from people all the time, my IRA has earned 10%. Nope, the investments within your IRA have earned 10%, but your IRA is not an investment. It's an investment vehicle to get you to where you're trying to go. There is so much knowledge that has to be put into this that it can seem so overwhelming, but you did a really great job of really helping people understand whether it's real estate, cash, IRAs, pensions, or Social Security. Each one of these has advantages, disadvantages, and a purpose as to why they should be used, but it all comes down to cash flow. So I think then as people begin to think about cash flow, what's a good starting point to help them kind of understand maybe their unique situation?
Yeah, so you need to start with just assessing the overall financial situation. What are the actual cash flow needs? And it's complicated because you have to take into account, like when you're retired, you got health insurance needs, you got income taxes, you know, we see a lot of times with budgets, somebody will come to us and say, here's my budget. And we're looking at it going, I know this isn't your budget. And they're like, no, this is my budget. And a good planner is going to kind of sometimes set you straight. From a standpoint of, I'll look at a client's budget and say, I promise that, or I would bet that you probably go out to the movies and go out to dinner once in a while. And you left that off your budget. And every now and then your house probably needs some maintenance or some work on it. Or if your kids aren't local, you're probably going to want to go visit them at some point. And so good planning sometimes is also looking at what somebody gives you and says, and say, you know, this isn't their whole budget, you know, because they may be struggling with putting it together. It's not easy sometimes to put together a budget. And with a budget, what we're not talking about is this is where every dollar is going. We're really talking about what's your lifestyle? style, right? Like you're going to have core expenses. I call them core expenses, expenses that never go away, utilities, stuff like that, food. And then you're going to have discretionary expenses, money that you can decide where and how you spend it. So you can decide how you vacation and things like that. That's discretionary money. And, you know, if back to our example earlier, if you spend $10,000 a month, that's your budget. You know, so if you look at your cash, let's say you like to sit around 30 grand in cash in your checking and savings account. And every month you find yourself going down by 2 grand. That means you're running at a $2,000 deficit, unless you've got some one-off expenses. But if you have one-off expenses every single year, about $10,000, guess what? Your budget is undercalculated by $10,000. So it's like you first need to look at what your real budget is. So, you know, what are you really spending on a period-to-period standpoint? Sometimes when you retire, that number changes. You think life is going to be a certain way when you retire, but life changes because you now get to do stuff you've never done before. Like walk around Home Depot and buy stuff every day, right? So, you know, life does change. You're going to get into stuff that you've never done before. So you start with what are my cash flow needs, but you've got to be generous in the way that you're calculating this. Don't be egotistical and say, you know, yeah, we don't really, you know, we go out to eat a lot, but we're not going to do that anymore. Listen, if you've been going out to eat 3 times a week for the last 30 years, you're still going to go out to eat 3 times a week when you retire. You know, unless you're that broke that you just literally cannot. But you probably are going to want to start with including that in the budget and maybe pulling it back if you can't make it. You have to assess the difference in your cash flow and your expenses. So here I come up with my budget and it's $10,000 a month, but my cash flow from Social Security and pension are only $4,000. I need $6,000 a month. That's your needs gap. So where's the $6,000 come from? Or let's say you haven't triggered your pension or Social Security yet. I get the whole $10,000. Where's the whole $10,000 come from? Should I trigger my Social Security? Should I trigger my pension? I think we've talked about that. You know, we've talked that one to death there. You know, we pounded it over the head. So you have to assess your tax situation. Are you in a high tax or low tax? Go back and listen to that example that we used last time. Your tax situation might dictate that you use certain assets. You might use a combination. Let's say you're right on the fringe between high and low. So maybe you use retirement accounts up to a certain level and then either after tax or Roth over a certain level, depending on your asset mix, so that, you know, you're keeping your tax situation in a reasonable level. You don't just use all one type or all the other. People don't understand that. They're just like, well, I need the money, so I take it out of my retirement account because that's what it's for. Right. But again, if you have these other assets that are going to reduce your tax bill and possibly improve your risk return profile, your long-term projected results, why not work on that cocktail? You have to assess, that leads right into that cocktail, that investment strategy and growth rates of each of your assets. Are there some with higher growth rates than others? You know, if your Roth is invested aggressively and you're thinking like this portfolio is set up to make 10% a year and your IRA or your after-tax account is set up to make 4, why would you ever cash money out of the Roth? Cash that after-tax money out first. That Roth, if you're 59 and a half, that Roth is a glorified savings account. You can have that whenever you want with no strings attached. And you can have most of it before you're 59 and a half with strings attached. So, you know, understand what the rules are of each of these assets on your balance sheet. You have to consider the liabilities you know or believe you will have, including emergencies, and you have to earmark assets to cover them. I have clients who are real estate heavy, right? They got a lot of real estate, rental properties and stuff. I don't know anybody who has a rental property that never has to put money in it. You know, if they're trying to keep it nice and trying to maintain the resale value of it. So they're like, yeah, I make $500 a month in rent off this property or whatever it is, right? That's obviously too low. But, you know, whatever their rent is, they're making. And it's like, no, you don't. You have to put some of that money away for long-term expenses, or you have to have a pool of money established to cover the long-term. It's like car payments. You are either buying a car, saving to buy the next car, or repairing the old car. right? You're either making payments, saving so you don't have to make payments on the next one, or putting money into fixing the shocks and the struts and the tires and the brakes and everything else that goes wrong with older cars. It's just something you have to plan for, but people forget to do it. Well, those are liabilities. Those are things that jump up and get you. And don't think that you're never going to have another car payment. I have retirees are like, well, you know, now that we're retired, we're going to cut back to one car and probably the last car we're ever going to have. And they're like 65. I'm like, first of all, cars today are not cars 20 years ago, right? When I was growing up as a kid, more than 20 years ago now, but when I was growing up as a kid, I could like climb in there with a hammer and beat the heck out of my 86 Cavalier, and that thing would still run. Now there's so many computers in the vehicles. I mean, they're like an iPhone. They're designed to die, right? So you got to go buy a new one. So don't think you're going to buy a car when you're 65 and that's going to be the last car forever. I promise you it's probably not going to, unless you die, in which case planning's easy, right? But we're going to plan on you not dying. Chances are you're going to need another vehicle. That's a liability. That's something in the future that you have to be prepared for, even if you don't think it will happen. If you don't think it'll happen, plan for it. When it does, if it doesn't happen, you'll have extra, but it won't be when it does happen, you're not prepared.
Well, you did a really nice job in that section too. When we talk about navigating this gap, you're used to living on $10,000 a year up to 55. If you retire at 55 and that paycheck stops flowing, you know that at some point you're going to have Social Security and your pension kicking in. What you're trying to do is figure out the gap to how to get back to the lifestyle you're living and supplementing it through the various investment assets that you have. So that's navigating the gap in a nutshell. How are you going to use the assets that you have at your disposal, taking into account taxes, investments, investment returns, and all of that? So I think you did a really nice job of helping people understand that we got people out there that are spreadsheet people. They put everything on a spreadsheet and sometimes they don't understand what actually makes up those accounts. So they just see Roth IRA with a dollar amount next to it, checking account with a dollar amount next to it. And it's like, we need money. Where do we take it? Which account's the largest or this or that? But we did an entire series to talk about how you may not be as diversified as you thought you were investments by peeling back the onion deeper and deeper through every series to help people understand. There's this concept of wanting to do what's right and noble, but the execution is wrong. Many times when it comes to taking money from these accounts too, there's a lot of mistakes made in what you sell to create money for those accounts. So if you have questions about all of these, don't worry. We've recorded 50 something episodes talking about each one of these things leading up to where we are today. So if you're new to Ditch the Suits, please follow us on social media at Ditch the Suits on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We share tons of information and go back to our YouTube channel and listen to all those old episodes. I think if you appreciate the passion through which Travis talks about and we try to bring to life, I think you don't want to miss out on the 50 episodes where we've talked about all of this and more. But this is a great segue, because I think people are here because maybe they've also been disenfranchised with the experience that they've had with other financial, quote unquote, professionals. They've gotten to a point where they've acknowledged and raised their hand and said, I need help. But the person that they're speaking to has too many conflicts in between them and their money that they don't know if the information that they're receiving is actually in their best interest. That's why we want to acknowledge our main sponsor of the show, Seed Planning Group. Seed is a fee-only financial planning firm that has a fiduciary obligation to put your best interest first. So if you've been trying to find a financial planner that you can talk to, that's going to give you the cold hard truth about, is your budget really what it is? How should you take your pension, your selection? Go on to seedpg.com. That's seedpg.com. Schedule your free discovery meeting and find out if this is the experience that truthfully you've been waiting for, you just didn't know existed. So as we continue on though, let's talk about maybe the secret about retirement planning, because that's why all of us are here. So bring this whole series home for us, Travis. Help us understand, what's the secret when it comes to retirement planning?
Basically, we're just going to do a quick recap here. Just like you when you were working, it's all about cash flow. You need cash flow to pay the bills. The difference is where you source the cash flow from, and you might actually have to manage your money business. Or hire somebody to manage your money business. So that would be somebody like a fee-only planner, like Seed Planning Group that we talked about. Which assets you should use, how much, and when and how to cover that income gap. And then when people say they have a financial advisor retirement plan, if this stuff isn't being covered, unfortunately, you're pretty much being duped. You might have an investment person. You might have an insurance person. It's not planning. Planning would include these things and have these types of discussions and be able to go into these things in detail. The agendas that you see for your meetings will be full of this stuff, not an inventory of your assets every time, but actually, what are you doing with the inventory of your assets? And I think to answer the question, the original question, you know, would I do it in early retirement age? You know, you could certainly, I think that that earlier case study was a great example that we did in the previous episode. But the real answer is it's going to be as unique to your situation, and all the small details of your life need to be considered. So you're not going to be very successful if you're making isolated decisions, or if you have people who are not well-informed, basically selling you products based on isolated parts of your planning. So think of this as like a game of chess. You really need to be thinking about three moves ahead. If I move here, you know, what's my next move going to be? What do I do if this other thing happens? The person you're playing against, and that's life basically, can throw all this stuff at you. So like, how do you get your pieces in the best possible place so that you don't get trapped? That's the goal with this. And it's not easy. It's not simple. It's not just something you can get an online calculator to do. Shortcuts, right? Cheap is cheap results. You really need to realize that. You get what you pay for. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I like to do home improvement projects. And the big joke in our house is check the references, because I'll do a home, I can't get anything level. No matter what, I think the level's broken, I think is what the problem is. I think I got some like mortar on it or something. And so it's like, I'm blaming it on that, right? But the big joke is check the darn references, because if it don't work, that's not what I do for a living. So if you're doing that with your finances, you got to be careful that you don't become that big joke. You know what I mean? Because this stuff, hopefully we've shown you how complicated it is, but that you could do it and you can actually have fun doing it. This is kind of exciting stuff. When you unlock some of this stuff and you start talking about the compounding wealth creation, man, that when you look at it and you go, I never thought I'd have that much. And now I'm talking about leaving my kids millions of dollars. I didn't know I was going to be able to do that. That's changed your life. That's a freedom that you've never felt before. So it's finding value for the assets that you've accumulated and getting the most out of each one.
So what would it look like if anybody that listens to Ditch the Suits looked at financial planning from a place of confusion that actually became a place of strength? It should be exciting. It should be an adventure. And when people ask me, what is financial planning? The way that I love to describe it, you talked about throwback to cars from the 80s. We all remember books as we were kids, the Choose Your Own Adventure book. These were books that basically allowed you as the main character of the story to choose where you wanted to jump in the story, which would then leave plot details about what happened when the story went. We all remember those books. You could go into a cave. You could go into the creepy house. And every decision that you made had counter things that happened as a consequence to what you did. That's financial planning in a nutshell. Should be the greatest adventure of your life. You should be able as the main character of the story to choose where you want to go, knowing that there will definitely be consequences, but it doesn't mean that your story's over. A good financial planner will help understand who and what's important to you. At the end of your life, if you could look back and say, I lived a pretty darn good life, what needs to happen in order for that to take place? And it should never be tied to products or what somebody sold you. It should be more of a life-breathing, giving experience where somebody took you from a place that you didn't quite understand because you're trying to take care of a loved one, your heirs, who mom and dad, whoever it may be. And all you're trying to do is make one good decision after another, move the ball forward, to have the ability to at any moment in your life not let money be a stressor. And you nailed something in that. We're all playing a game against an enemy called life. But it doesn't have to be an enemy. Our time is limited. We all get one shot at this thing. What we're trying to do is take you from a place of confusion to confidence by helping you understand that seeking out information is good, but it's what you do with that information that separates where you are today from where you want to be. We just blew your mind in 3 episodes. If this is your first experience with Ditch the Suits, please follow us on our socials. Send us an email. Let us know what questions you have. If you have content that you'd like us to cover on down the road, like we said with this series, this was in response to people at the New Retirement platform saying they wanted to hear about it. If you think you have content that you'd like to hear about, please reach out to Travis or myself. We will definitely consider for future series. But as always, thanks for stopping by Ditch the Suits.
Thanks for listening. We'd love for you to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And stay connected with us by following us on all socials at Ditch the Suits.